to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, June 2nd, 2019, by Eric Williams.
As I was reading these lessons, and today is the day when we commemorate the ascension of Jesus. Jesus prayed this priestly prayer in John's Gospel just before he left his disciples, was crucified and raised, and then after 40 days he ascended into heaven. He left his disciples behind. They were left to carry on the mission that he had been doing for 3 years. He was not going to just stay in his earthly human form. He was going to give them the Holy Spirit so that they could do the ministry that he was entrusting to them. And I was thinking a lot about that chain of belief and that chain of ministry today. In his prayer, he says, "I ask not only on behalf of these, his disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word." Get an immediate story about what that looks like in the reading from Acts today. Paul is in, I think, one of the most hilarious healing stories in the whole Bible. There is a woman who is chasing after Paul and the disciples and is shouting after them continuously. Let's see, what does she say? It's very funny. She says, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." And this goes on day after day, all day long. And finally, Paul says, he rebuked the spirit of divination and says, "Be quiet." And so this woman stops prophesying. And the guys who are profiting off of her, she's a slave. She is basically being exploited to be a fortune teller for these men who own her. It's a terrible situation. But Paul is not healing her because he really cares about her. He heals her because he's exasperated with her shouting after him. I just think it's a very odd and funny story. But anyway, because of that, these men have Paul and his friends thrown into jail. And they witness, right, those who will believe in me because of them is what Jesus prayed. There is Paul and his friends in jail. They're actually in a central cell. They have their legs chained to the wall, and then there's a miracle, an earthquake. The fetters are loosed, and the doors are opened. And the jailer is terrified, because if his prisoners escape, then he will be executed for dereliction of duty. Everyone will assume that he let them out. And then an amazing thing happens. The prisoners do not leave the prison. Like, if you were in jail and suddenly the doors opened, wouldn't you leave? I think I probably would leave. I'd get out of there as quick as possible. I'd move on to the next town. They stay because Paul and his companions are more concerned, not about their own life, but about the faith and the life of this jailer and his family. They witness the faith to the man. He is converted, baptized with his whole family, and that belief is passed on. I pray not only for these, Jesus said, my disciples, but for those who will believe through them, through the 12 apostles, through Paul and his companions, and the implication is through us as well. We also are given this mission, this ministry by God. We received it, right? We have faith. We are in church this morning because somebody else shared the faith with us. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a fellow person in church. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you didn't. But somehow this faith, this belief in Jesus was passed on to you. And you, in turn, are able to share that with other people in this unbroken chain that has gone on for 2,000 years. It's a really awesome and amazing thing to think about. We are links in a chain that God has been forging from the beginning of the world. We're carrying on this beautiful and wonderful tradition and faith. Today, as I mentioned, at 10 o'clock, we're celebrating Youth Sunday. and the sermon will not be me rambling on about the lessons, but all of the kids in the youth group will be sharing with you a scripture passage that means something to them and talking about why. They, in a sense, will be becoming part of that chain. The faith that they have received, they will be sharing. It's a beautiful thing. In 2 weeks, Bishop Gibbs will be with us for a confirmation service, and 18 people from St. Philip's will be either confirmed or received, joining in a special way in that unbroken chain of faith that has been passed on through this church. We had wonderful work going on here yesterday, inside and outside, despite the raindrops, tremendous amount of work was done. And I think the reason that people wanted to come and make this place beautiful is because we know that we're stewards of this property, this church, and this faith. We want to take it and pass it on in better shape than we found it, don't we? That's what stewardship is. We want to take that faith, take that life, take this gift, and pass it on better. Yesterday, I was not working here at church. I like to participate in our work days, even though Rick can tell you I'm not much of a gardener. I instead was with some other of our parishioners electing our next bishop. I was thinking about that chain of faith that is exemplified in our bishops. Why do we have bishops in the Episcopal Church? They are the symbols of our continuity, the unity of the faith. Jesus prayed that all might be one. The bishop is supposed to be the symbol of that unity and that universality of the church, our unbroken link with the original apostles. They were the first bishops. They laid hands on their successors, and so on, and so on, and so on. Our bishops today, our new bishop, Bonnie, by the way, was elected, who will be consecrated in February when the presiding bishop comes. He will be here. A bunch of other bishops will be here. They will all lay hands on Bonnie, and they will link her in a chain that goes back to Jesus and the 12 apostles. She will be, by my count, I think, the 1,123rd bishop in the American Episcopal Church succession, which they can trace by. She'll have a number. That'll be her number. Isn't that awesome to think about? We share in that tradition with Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox Christians as well. And other churches have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which has also been that unbroken chain. It doesn't have to come through bishops. Different denominations do it differently. But for us, that symbol is important because it links us to the universal church and to the heritage of faith that we have inherited from the time of Jesus when he prayed that prayer over his apostles and knew, could see far into the future that one day a group of us at 8 o'clock in the morning would be in Rochester, Michigan, telling these stories again, celebrating the presence of God and the Holy Spirit again, and forging our own links in that chain of faith that goes on and on until God's kingdom is completely fulfilled. May we be able today to really celebrate that heritage, that tradition, and that faith. And may we have the grace to be able to share it with those around us and those in the next generations in the best way that we are able, by word, but also by deed, by actions of loving kindness.